I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs once again. Today, chapter 15, verse 18. We've been spending a lot of time in Proverbs because we're talking about the tongue. All of our graduates just got a Bible. That was in the gift that we gave you. So you can turn in your new Bible if you want to pull the wrapping off of it. This is our last official message in our spring series on the tongue of the wise. Next week we'll probably tie back in a significant way to this series, but this is the last full message in this Tongue of the Wise sermon series. And we've been learning from Proverbs 12:18 that reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And I want to thank those of you who told me over the last week that this series of messages has been helpful to you this spring. I know it's been helpful to me to think about what I'm doing with me and my big mouth. Remember, that was the original title of this series, Me and My Big Mouth. Am I speaking reckless words? Complaining, cursing, grumbling, coarse joking, lying, foolish talking. Reckless words pierce like a sword, like you're in a knife fight. You never know. A blind man wildly swinging a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Or are we exhibiting the tongue of the wise? Sweet words like a honeycomb, right? Pleasant words, praising the praiseworthy, commending the commendable. Good words that heal and not hurt. And of course, we've learned that these words, reckless or wise, don't come from nowhere. Our words overflow from our hearts. So the question is not just what am I saying, what words are on my tongue. The question is, what is the state of my heart? Am I going in a Godward direction or am I going in the wrong direction? My words are signposts to that. Today's message will be along the same lines. Today I want to talk about fighting words. Fighting words. Words that tear down. Words that break up. Words filled with unrighteous anger that fuel sinful conflict. Fighting words. Anybody remember this guy? Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam were always squaring off in the old Looney Tunes cartoons. And Bugs knew how to get Sam really, really, really mad. Of course, that wasn't hard to do. I think Sam was born mad. But anything that Bugs could do to bother Sam, he would do until Sam, like, draw a line. Don't step over this line. Okay, don't step over this line. Don't step over this line. Remember that? He would do whatever he could do to bother Sam. And Sam would then start to have the smoke pouring out of his ears. Right? And what'd he say then? He'd say, "Them's fighting words." And the fun would begin. And we would laugh and laugh because it wasn't us. But fighting words in real life are not so fun. Sinful anger expressed in words that tear down bring destruction in their wake. Here's our proverb for today. It's 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have this book of Proverbs translated into our own heart language, English, so we can understand it. So we can read it and memorize it and repeat it over and over and let it get into us and think about it so that it changes us. I pray that you would do that in big or small ways in each of us today. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Class of 2013. Let me give you some counsel for surviving and thriving in the world that you just graduated into this weekend. Michaela, Michelle, JP. You know, he used to be John Paul, but now it's just JP. It's been JP for years. Lucas, Amy, let me give you some counsel. Keep your cool. Don't let yourself be carried away with anger. Be a patient person who calms a quarrel. Don't be a hot-tempered individual. Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms down a quarrel." King Solomon put these words in his book nearly 3,000 years ago, but they are just as true today as they were then, and just as applicable. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Most Proverbs make use of Hebrew poetry with parallelism between the A line and the B line, and this one is no different. The A line of Proverbs 15:18 is our first point today. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. A hot-tempered man is a man who allows his anger to flare up and get the best of him. He's someone who is characterized by being what we call a hothead. Sometimes we say, that guy or that gal has a hair trigger or a short fuse, right? The Proverbs have a lot to say about the hot-tempered man. It's one of those characters that appears again and again in the book of Proverbs. This verse, Proverbs 15:18, says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Proverbs 19:19 says, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. What's the lesson there? Don't bail this guy out of trouble. He's got to learn from the consequences or he'll just flame off again. Proverbs 22:24 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. What's the lesson there? Be careful making friends with someone who can't control their temper. Or soon you will be fighting as well, either them or others. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up dissension, sounds like our verse, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. I saved this message for last in this series because I think that losing our tempers and then speaking is one of the most harmful and sinful kinds of talking. Them's fighting words. Using words to fight with others. What kind of words might fall into this category? Shouting would, of course. Yelling in someone's face in anger, I hate you. It's one of the most destructive things a person can say. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. But sinful shouting is not the only form of fighting words. How about name-calling and insults? How many of us here like to be called a bad name? Nobody likes that, not if they're being human. Nobody likes to be insulted. Sometimes the name isn't so bad. It's just the heart behind the name-calling. It's a heart that says, I'm so mad at you, I won't be happy unless you have this word smeared on you. I see a lot of name-calling among my several hundred friends on Facebook. And it seems like people think it's okay to do that if you're calling someone a name maybe when they aren't listening. Of course, the NSA might be listening, but that's a whole other story. Sarcastically insulting others when they're not present is not a form of love. It is being a hot-tempered man. A hot-tempered man posts things that they will soon regret. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. Speaking of sarcasm, I read a great post recently that calls sinful sarcasm light-hearted hatred. I think that's really helpful. Light-hearted hatred. There's a difference between loving playfulness and sinful sarcasm. It's okay to rag on your friend and trash talk during a game of basketball in your driveway. It's okay to poke one another in love. I love to poke my friends. Tom Hampton has told me many times that if he's making fun of me, then I know everything's okay between the two of us because he likes to pull the chain on his friends. So I know I'm good with Tom if he gives me a hard time and vice versa. That's fun and that's cool. But when our sarcastic mouths begin to tear others down for our own enjoyment, out of a heart that is angry or mad or frustrated, then we've crossed that yellow line in the middle of the road and we're going to have to start dodging traffic coming in the other direction. I've told you this story before, but it's been a while and it's still true. When I was in high school, there was another student in my class. I will call him today Jack. And Jack liked to pick on me. I was something of a geek. Was, past tense. And he was a star football player. And during my senior year, I began to pick back at him and deliver some sarcastic words right back into his face. Now, I'm not saying they made any sense. Okay? One time in government class, I said, "Hey, Jack, duh, football." Another time I said, "Hey, Jack, get a life. And if you can't find one, I've got extra lives hanging in my closet I can loan you." Yeah, I don't know what that was supposed to mean either. But I know what kind of a heart it came from. It was a hateful heart. It was a hard one. It was a hot-tempered one at that moment. I was stirring up dissension. Why do I remember this so vividly? Jack died a year or two after high school. He wasn't much older than our graduates today. And he was in the military, and he had an accident, and he was gone. And whenever I think of him, I think of the hot-tempered things I said to him, and about him, and how I never showed him the love of Christ. And now it's too late. How I wish I had known and obeyed 1 Peter 3:9, where Peter tells us believers, do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Insult comes at me. Blessing goes back. But a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. The Lord Jesus had very strong words to those who use strong words against others in hate. In His Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapter 5, our Lord said, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Racha, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell." Yes, you heard me right. Jesus said, anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. How many of us have said, that man is an idiot, in the last 12 months? The Greek word Jesus uses for fool is moros, from which we get our insult, moron. How many of us have said that the folks in Harrisburg or Washington are morons? Or our bosses? Or our employees? Or that person with which we are locked into conflict? Jesus says that that is murdering them in your heart and murdering them with your words. It's the same heart of anger that, left unchecked, will kill. And it's liable for judgment. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. How about accusing words? Let's add accusations to our list of fighting words. An accusation is a charge brought against someone. Sometimes they're necessary. In fact, sometimes angry words are righteous words. It must be noted today that our Lord Jesus got angry righteously and expressed His righteous anger, His righteous indignation. Not all anger is unrighteous. Don't hear me saying that. But we have to admit that most of our anger is not righteous. It's selfish anger. And sinful accusations are those made before we know all the facts. Those that are made in spite of the facts. Those accusations that are made out of anger and not out of love. And Satan loves accusations. Satan loves to bring a charge against people, especially Christians. Accusations are Satan's second language. His native language is lying. We talked about that last week. But the Bible also calls him the accuser. of the brothers. And he loves to put them together and make them lying accusations. That makes Satan so happy. So whenever we find ourselves making wild and unloving and out of control accusations, we're speaking the snake's tongue. Reckless words pierce like a sword. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. Them's fighting words. Sometimes our fighting words are just simply unfair criticisms. Criticism can be a very good thing if it's loving. But unfair criticism just tears people down. Are you stuck in your relationships right now because they're filled with criticism? Proverbs 18, verses 6 and 7 says, "A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. A great thing about Proverbs is that the answer to the problem is almost always right there in the same verse. In this verse, it's the beeline, right? A patient man calms a quarrel. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. King James says it like this, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." The New Living Translation renders verse 18, "A hothead starts fights, a cool-tempered person tries to stop them." Michaela, Michelle, JP, Lucas, Amy, let me give you some counsel. Keep your cool. Don't let yourself get carried away with anger. Be a patient person who calms a quarrel. Don't use fighting words. One of the scariest things about hot-tempered people is that they often don't realize that they're hot-tempered. They feel justified because anger feels justified. That's part of what anger is. Anger is always about something, seeing or feeling that something is wrong. And often there is something wrong. But the anger is about the wrong thing or to the wrong degree or aimed at the wrong person. And what's interesting is that often a patient man doesn't realize that he's a patient man. Do you know that? A patient man often realizes how angry they truly are, but they're able to keep it under control and to transform the power of anger into something good. A patient man says no to insults and name-calling and accusations and sinful sarcasm and unfair criticism and shouting and every other kind of fighting words, but they also do more than that. They don't just say no, they use words that are not fighting words. They use soothing words. They use careful words. They use cautious words. They use judicious words. They use discreet words. They use measured words. They use gentle words. See how many words we can come up with to describe the opposite? When the anger hits, it's hard to see anything but. That means we need to think about it now when the anger isn't hitting. Verse 1 of chapter 15 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath." They're coming all hot at you, but you're gentle back. James chapter 1 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." If we find ourselves becoming angry, the boiling starts at the bottom and starts to come up through our body. We need to not give in to that boil, but to repent of it. That heart work of inside, turning away from it and turning towards Christ and embracing its opposite, choosing love. A patient person is not someone who never feels anger. It's someone who says no to anger and yes to love. Love is patient. Which of these two things are harder to be? Hot-tempered or patient? Patient. So which one do you think God is the most interested in helping you to be? One of the best practical ways to grow in patience is to meditate on how patient God has been with you. When I think about how patient God has been with me, I just naturally begin to be patient with other people. Not that it's easy, but it's easier. And it's also helpful to look at the situation from the other person's perspective. Can you put yourself in their shoes? In fact, instead of making an accusation, ask questions to try to figure out why they're doing something that is so maddening to you. If you're in a close relationship, I recommend not just asking them to explain where they're coming from, but repeating back to them what you've heard them say and including the emotion that you think they are saying. Heather and I teach this technique in our premarital counseling classes, and it's made a huge difference in our own marriage. In fact, we try to do it to each other and see if the other person catches it. Heather and I regularly get into fights. We are not the same person, and so we see things differently. I see things my way, and she sees things the right way. Right, honey? Got an amen today. And as we've grown older, we've grown in our ability to listen to each other patiently. Now, in some ways, it's grown harder to be patient with each other. During Family Bible Week next week, Heather and I are going to be celebrating our 19th wedding anniversary. And I'm going to bring her to Family Bible Week to celebrate. She's a saint, 19 years of putting up with me. And after 19 years, it's easier in some ways to get angry because you might think the other person would have changed more in those 19 years. And they might agree with you more after 19 years. You've been patient for 19 years, so you think you shouldn't have to be so patient after 19 years. Amen? Now, it's also easier to be patient because you know that person very well. And you've learned to be patient with them in just the right way. And they've been patient with you for 19 years. And you have a history of working it out. But it's not automatic. Heather and I have to work at listening to each other and making sure we understand each other, including how the person feels. Don't leave that out. Include how the person feels when you're saying, I hear you saying this. Another good technique for calming a quarrel is XYZ statements. Heather and I teach this one too in our premarital counseling classes. XYZ statements are this. When you do X in Y situations, I feel Z. When you do X in Y situations, I feel Z. Do you see how that's better than saying, you always do this? Or, you never do that? Those are just accusations, and there's very little good that can come out of them. And just venting isn't good. But in an XYZ statement, you're letting the person know how you're feeling, but you're not making an accusation. You're helping them to understand you and their own actions better. So, for example, when you leave me at a party by myself, I feel abandoned and unloved. When you forget to take the trash out on Wednesdays, I feel forgotten. When you spend more than we agreed upon, I feel insecure and confused. See how that could diffuse a quarrel instead of flaming it up? X, Y, Z. In X situation, when you do X in Y situation, I feel Z. I'm sure there are hundreds of practical ways to grow in this. The point is to do it. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. A patient man is not a passive man. Do you hear that? A patient man is not a passive man. He's active. He's actively calming the quarrel. It takes guts and self-control and power to resolve conflicts instead of making them. We laugh at Yosemite Sam and his hot head, but we wouldn't want to be around him if those guns were real. And we don't want to be him either. We want to be like Jesus, who showed us amazing patience when He saved us from our sins. Paul said to Timothy, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life." Jesus did not let His temper get the best of Him and explode on us with unrighteous fighting words. Jesus exhibited awesome, unlimited patience and came into the world to save those of us who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. With an example like that, how can we become not hot-tempered but patient people who calm quarrels in Christ-like love.